From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring Zendaya as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach. Married to art, a champion on a losing streak played by Mike Feist, Tashi's strategy for her husband's redemption takes a turn when he faces off against the washed-up Patrick, played by Josh O'Connor, his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend. Pasts and presents collide. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Previously on The Daily.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
My colleague Lindsay Garrison told the story of N, a teenager in Afghanistan whose family was trying to force her to marry a member of the Taliban.
They want to give me to Talib because they think if I got married with a Talib, then the Taliban will not kill or, you know, they will not be a danger for us. But I can't.
She resisted.
And now every day they beating me. At the first, my father beat me and then my brother.
And they abused her, which led her to attempt suicide.
And I told him, my father and everyone, don't beat me. I will do it, you know. You don't kill me, I will kill my own self.
You'd rather die than... Yeah.
That's it. The only person who is with me and home is my mother. My mother, she's always saying that I know this is wrong, but I can't do anything.
Then, she escaped.
After that, I decided that I want to leave this home. I want to leave home.
Hi. I want to tell you about Martin, so if you have time, then you can call me. I want to share something with you.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is A Daily. Today.
You know, something happened to my family. The attack to my family, who I could not sleep all night because my family was in danger and.
What happened to Anne after she fled her family's home?
The world must know the real face of these bloody people, these bloody Taliban. I'm very angry and I want to tell the whole story for you.
It's Monday, December 20th.
After Anne left her home in the fall, we kept talking on the phone and exchanging voice memos almost every day. She told me a volunteer aid worker who had been helping Afghans in need helped get N to a safe location somewhere in Afghanistan for the time being. N was hoping she would eventually evacuate the country. And while she was waiting, she told me something terrifying happened.
One of my friends, she was our neighbor, and I was messaging actually with her. And a message comes to my phone. And she wrote to me that some men that have gun comes to your home. And I think your family situation is not good.
It was exactly Anne's greatest fear.
My hand was shaking.
That because she had left, now her family would be targeted by the Taliban.
I was not good. I was not feeling good.
And her mind started racing.
I was just praying for them, and I was praying for them that Allah help them.
She told me she felt like this was all her fault.
I was thinking that I'm so selfish. I left my family alone, and I left them in danger. I was thinking like that.
Anne was desperate to know exactly what had happened, but she didn't want to call her family herself. She had just left home and didn't want her family to have her number or any way to access her. So she asked her best friend to call her mom instead. And this is what she said she learned from that phone call.
My father, he engaged me. I don't know with who, but he engaged me.
It turned out that just before N had left home, N's father and brothers had lined up a second Talib for N to marry. And the plan was for the engagement to become official at the end of the week.
They decided to come to our home on Friday for my engagement. And my father was, he promised to him, now I'll give you my daughter, like a promise for them.
So when N disappeared just a couple of days before,
at Wednesday,
it shattered the whole arrangement.
When my father saw that my daughter is not at home, then what should I do with those people who I promised to them that I will give you my daughter? So what will I do with them?
Suddenly, N's father had to figure out what he was going to do.
He decided to call those people that I want to cut this promise. I will not give you my daughter. And when he told to them, they told that she is my wife, like she's my fiance, like this.
N said that apparently the Talib's family was pretty furious. It was a huge embarrassment because they had already kind of told people.
It's a big deal for an Afghan to tell to everyone that this girl is my fiance. They told that thing for their whole family.
And they did not accept it.
After that, they told that, oh, just bring your daughter to us.
Instead, they made a threat.
Or if you doesn't bring her, then I will kill your family, like this, like a blackmail. I'm not in there and I don't know the real story, but it was like that.
According to N's mom, it was just after this, on the night that N was texting with her friend, when all of a sudden the lights went out in her family's house.
Our home's electricity was cut.
It was totally dark, and N's mom peered out the window to see if maybe there was a power outage in the neighborhood.
And she was like, what has happened with electricity? She was thinking like that.
But
she saw out of window, every home have electricity, but our home's electricity was cut.
Everyone else's lights were still on. And that's when N's mom's heart froze.
She saw that some men are coming from the walls to the home.
She saw in the shadows six men with rope and guns.
A rope.
Climbing over the wall of their courtyard.
They were climbing the walls to come at home.
The family started panicking. They started yelling.
And everyone was loudly, they want help. And they just tried to make a noise that neighbors come to help them. And my small brother, he act like he has a gun and he's trying to shoot the man.
N's little brother started talking loudly about shooting one of them.
Come on, I won't shoot that one. You know, there was no gun with him, but he act like that.
And eventually,
the neighbors come out.
The family made enough noise that some of the neighbors did come out to see what was going on. And that's when
they just gone.
The men ran away. N said her family never found out who exactly the men were who came to their home that night. But her family was convinced that they were members of the Taliban. It just felt like too big a coincidence after N's dad had broken off the engagement.
They were searching my family. They were searching us. And they told that we will take that girl from you. I decide that if my family is in danger because of me, then I will go and I will marry to a Talib.
So you were prepared to change your mind?
Yes. If my family is in danger because of me, And if the danger can solve by marry with a Talib, then I will do that thing.
At first, she thought about just going back home. But then she remembered the aid worker and how she got N to a safe place. And N wondered if maybe the aid worker could do the same for N's family. She didn't want to be with them, but if they could at least be safe, that would give her some peace of mind. So N brought this idea to the aid worker, and the aid worker said she would try. And so then N was in this state of waiting.
N, how are you doing today?
We continued talking just about every single day.
I'm fine. How about you? Are you fine?
Exchanging voice memos, calling each other, texting each other.
Hello.
Sometimes just passing the time.
Can I ask what's your dog's name?
And being in that state of limbo was sometimes hard for N.
I haven't slept all the nights.
Sometimes she'd send me a voice memo in the middle of the night.
Exactly now. I wake up from my sleep because I saw her dream.
Some days were just really hard.
I'm not good. Not at all.
Hey, Ann, just checking on you today. Just wanted to see how you're feeling, if your headache is any better, if you're feeling any better, and just check on you.
Hi, how are you? I wish you're fine, and thank you so much that you're asking.
But then she also had these days where she was happier, where she seemed to kind of find herself again.
Positive energy and some positive power.
Her voice was lighter, stronger, louder.
Today, I feel good because, you know, I went to help some families.
She started working with the aid worker, helping other people, often women, who are in need of basic necessities like shelter, food, money.
I was really happy today, and I am, because I save a family. It gives me, you know, it gives me wings.
She seemed like she was really coming alive again.
Now I'm playing with my kitty. She's really naughty and she bite me. And she's cute also.
The aid worker also gave her this little kitten.
Look at her eyes. And she's sleeping.
And she'd purr on N's chest as we chatted on the phone.
What are you making?
We called it carrot bread.
Carrot bread.
N also started keeping herself busy by cooking food for families and volunteers around her. Like these flatbreads rolled into pinwheels with shredded carrot and spices inside.
I can cook hard food, you know, but I can't cook egg.
Oh. <Like this.
laughs> I can't do that.
You can cook like gourmet meals, but not an egg.
Yeah, like this. It's not my fault. Yesterday, the first time that I have ride on motorcycle, and it was a big fun, and the air is touching your face. It was my dream, you know, to ride a motorcycle so close. It was best feeling to be like a bird, and it has a great feeling.
Finally, after weeks of waiting, N got two pieces of good news. For one, the aid worker told her that she was able to successfully get N's family out of their home into a safe location in a different neighborhood, away from the view of the Taliban. And two, the aid worker told N that they had secured her a seat on a flight.
Today, It's like a miracle for me.
She would be evacuated out of Afghanistan and to the United States.
Like, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from BlackRock. Want to know what's happening in the markets? On The Bid, a podcast from BlackRock, we break down what's happening in the world of investing and explore the forces changing the economy and finance. From stock market outlooks and megatrends to geopolitics and technology, BlackRock speaks to thought leaders and industry experts from around the globe about the biggest trends moving markets. Subscribe to The Bid wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about the 2024 election, how do you feel?
Sickened.
Hey, y'all. Estead Herndon here, host of The Run-Up from The New York Times. And recently, I've been asking this question a lot.
I feel tired. I feel a little scared.
And I've been hearing the same sort of answer in reply.
We have an incompetent incumbent and a Republican that I'm not going to vote for.
When voters look ahead to the 2024 presidential election, they feel apathy, dread, that it's just a mess. The Run-Up is your guide to that mess. Each week,
I am going to vote for the man with the most impeachments and the most indictments.
We'll talk to voters, elected officials.
I believe America can do for anyone what she's done for me.
And the candidates themselves, all to help you better understand this moment in American politics. The Run-Up is new every Thursday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
When N learned that she was going to get out of Afghanistan, she said the aid worker told her that she needed to get ready pretty quickly. The flight could be ready within the next few days or perhaps a week. But regardless, it was imminent.
I was not the girl who had the expectation to leave and to make her dreams come true, because there was no way.
And she told me that the first thing she wanted to do in the U.S. was to go swimming.
Yeah, swimming. Because I love water. Yeah.
But before she left,
I'm going to see my mom from near tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
She decided she wanted to see her family one last time, which, on one hand, made her really nervous.
And what will be their behavior?
What if they were angry with her for leaving them? What if somehow they forced N to come back home?
Yeah, I'm worried about that. And I said,
but N said she was ready to take the risk, mostly to see her mom.
I just need her hug and a kiss from her cheeks, because, you know, maybe I can see her for many years. And so, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I just want her hug and I will miss her. You know, tomorrow is like a big day for me. Like, I will see her, and I will say goodbye for her. It's also a happy day, and also, like, sad day for me.
Like, bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really, like, I think I will not sleep this night. I'm counting every minute like this.
Well, hopefully the minutes will go fast so you can see your mom.
Yeah. Oh. Hello?
Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good.
Good. How did it go today?
Yeah. It was fabulous.
When I called Anne the next day, she told me how it all went.
I cook for her.
She told me that morning she cooked one of her mom's favorite dishes, and she put on some makeup.
Just to show her I'm fresh and I'm happy.
And wore her newest hijab with black and white checkers. And then she went over to the secure location where her family was staying. She walked up to the door, took a deep breath, and her little brother flung it open.
When he opened the door and see me, he just jumped and hugged me. And after that, I was, go away, where's my mom?
Then Anne kind of quickly brushed past him to run to her mom.
When I saw my mom, I hugged her tightly and she cried. And I kissed her face, her head, cheeks. I kissed her everywhere. And
Anne's mom looked at her face.
Yeah. I told to my mom that, look, I cut my eyebrows. She said, oh, you know, you look beautiful.
And Anne gave her the food that she had cooked.
And I said, oh, I have food for you.
And then they just talked.
Yeah, we talked too much. She told about her cat, and I told about my cat. Yeah, and about...
And said her mom would try to bring up everything that had happened that had made Anne leave. But Anne would quickly change the subject.
Change the topic, because I'm tired of this topic. And I said no to myself that I'm there to make some happy moments. And like this, I know my pain, but... I should have, you know, the memories. Yeah.
I have to ask, like, was it hard to see your brothers after everything that they did? Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. But I don't want to remember the bad things. My focus was only for my mom.
The only person who wasn't there was Anne's dad.
My father was at shop, and she said that he went to shopping.
Her mom told her that he was out running errands. And while Anne hadn't planned to see him, since the visit was going so well, she decided she would stick around and wait for him.
And I was waiting for him, but he didn't come.
But he didn't show. Anne figured he was maybe angry with her.
Maybe he want to see me. I don't know.
And eventually, she had to go.
Mom, I have to go. And she said, oh, why you're not sleeping there? I said, no, there is no time.
She and her mom traded necklaces with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I exchanged and I bring my...
And Anne took her mom's perfume.
Yeah, I bring that with myself.
She said they hugged for several minutes.
Yeah, you know, I want to use every moment because... I can't trust on time and on life. For that reason, I'm just, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just, I'm getting emotional, but I don't want to do that. I was just saying that I just want to capture every moment.
And then she said goodbye.
Do you think there's ever a day, Anne, when you'd want to talk to your family about those things that happened, or would you rather leave it all behind?
I will not talk, but I will show them.
You'll show them.
I will show them by making my future. Yeah, I will show them. Yeah. You know, I have saw last night a dream that I'm catching fish. Yeah, I'm in a beach and I'm catching fish. And I saw the meaning of that dream. And it was like someone who's going to have more knowledge and who reached to their dreams.
It was the meaning of that dream was like this. Yeah.
And thought she'd be leaving soon after that. She waited for news of the flight and waited. Days passed, a week passed, and still no flight.
Hey, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. So what happened?
I just got a news that the flight that I was going on it, I can't go because, like, some of reasons that I can't go.
Apparently, the aid worker helping N told her that there were some questions that unexpectedly emerged about whether N's case fit the State Department's criteria for evacuation. So she couldn't get on that flight. I asked the State Department about this. They won't comment on specific cases, but a spokesperson informed me that they are prioritizing the evacuation of U.S. citizens and Afghans who have worked with the U.S. government. The spokesperson also informed me that there have been challenges with some privately organized flights trying to evacuate Afghans who haven't been cleared or aren't eligible to come to the U.S. But they wouldn't comment on whether N fit that situation. So when N got this news, she immediately worried about the future. If she couldn't leave the country, there weren't that many options for her.
In Afghanistan, to be alone is too hard. Like, no one allows someone to leave alone. Or, you know, a girl. And I was just thinking that I'm not educated. I haven't went to college or I can't do a job. And what should I do now?
And without seeing a future, N could only see the past.
Now I can't go back to my family. If I go, then it's like, you know?
Yeah.
Like the past will repeat once more. And
And that happy moment that she had just shared with her family faded as she thought about what life was actually like with them. In a Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, she knew what they were capable of if their lives were threatened again.
If I went back to my family, I don't know what will happen. I just don't know. How should I face them? And what will they do? Like, they will beat me again for no reasons. And I'm really scared of that. Everything will repeat back, like, sorry.
But as she continued talking, her fears eventually turned into something else.
I was telling to myself that how stupid was I that I, you know, I think that, okay, my life could change.
Anger at herself.
I was blaming myself. That why you saw those dreams? Why you saw dreams about your future? Like, why I, you know, I grew hope on inside of me. Why I have done all those things?
You're angry at yourself for having some hope.
Yeah, of course. I'm angry from my own self. Yeah. And I was thinking that nothing was like a miracle. I was wrong. Now it hurts that I'm just thinking that I wish God would give my life to person who could use it in a better way.
because I can't use it. This is a stupid thing. I can't use my life. The cage.
The aid worker helping N is trying to think about other options for her. As the law stands right now, there aren't a ton of legal channels that fit a case like N's. She's not a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident, and she didn't work for the U.S. government. So the aid worker thinks her next best chance to get evacuated to the States is by applying for a kind of emergency approval known as humanitarian parole. But under government protocol, N would need a sponsor and have to be vetted and screened in person at an American embassy before getting approved. And right now, there is no U.S. embassy in Afghanistan. So N would have to go to another country just to finish her application, a prospect that doesn't seem very realistic right now. N says movement is hard these days. Just the other day, N was stopped at a Taliban checkpoint and questioned. So for now, N is still in limbo, back to a state of waiting.
Life is just playing games with us.
You feel like you're in a game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm the loser of the game. Mm. I'm the thing that life's playing with me. It's just like a jail, like a cage.
We'll be right back.
This podcast is supported by NRDC. We are in danger of losing some of the most important environmental fights in our lifetime, but they are winnable with your support. NRDC is fighting to stop fossil fuel companies from expanding oil drilling that threatens the Arctic, polar bears, and our climate. NRDC is waging an aggressive campaign against the overuse of pesticides, wiping out pollinators, and threatening our food supply. NRDC is chasing the clock to save endangered whales. NRDC needs your help. Please donate today. Visit nrdc.org/thedaily.
Here's what else you need to Notre Dame.
If I can't go home and explain it to the people of West Virginia, I can't vote for it. And I cannot vote to continue with this piece of legislation. I just can't. I've tried everything humanly possible. I can't get there.
On Sunday, during an interview with Fox News, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia said he could not vote for the president's sweeping climate and social spending bill, Build Back Better, in its current form, calling it too big and too expensive.
You're done. This is a no.
This is a no on this legislation. I have tried everything I know to do. And the president.
That decision would doom the nearly $2 trillion legislation, since Manchin's vote is required to pass it in a closely divided Senate. But it was unclear whether Manchin, whose concerns have held up the bill for weeks, could vote for a more scaled-down version of the bill. Manchin's remarks appeared to blindside the White House, which has been deep in negotiations with him. In a sharply worded response, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki accused Manchin of breaking his promises to both Biden and congressional Democrats, but said that the president would still seek to win Manchin over. And over the weekend, New York State set a new daily record for COVID infections, reporting nearly 22,000 cases. Epidemiologists said it appeared that the highly contagious Omicron variant was moving quickly throughout the state, just as an earlier variant of the virus did back in March of 2020.
We expect Omicron to be a fast and temporary phenomenon. We expect these next weeks to see a very, very big surge in the number of cases, more than we've seen previously.
During a briefing on Sunday, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, predicted a short-lived surge in infections.
And then we expect, after a period of time, that it will dissipate.
Today's episode was produced by Lindsay Garrison, with help from Daniel Guimet. It was edited by Anita Bonadio and Larissa Anderson, contains original music from Marion Lozano and Dan Powell, and was engineered by Chris Wood. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. Special thanks to Alyssa Rubin, Laura Jakes, Michael Benoit, MJ Davis-Lynn, Rogine Jacquette, David McCraw, and Douglas Shoresman. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing over half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. To succeed against cancer, you have to be as relentless as cancer. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.